Greetings to all. This is Ariski Daoud of Mir Risk LLC and editor of the North Africa Journal. And this is a quick retrospect on the North Africa and the Sahel region for the week ending 24th of April 2020. Now, specific to the top northern half of Africa, the month of April and parts of May will see a continuation of the lockdowns in virtually all countries. Let's start with Algeria, where the authorities have extended the lockdown until the 29th of April for now. For those wanting to travel there, all international flights and ferries are suspended and land borders are closed. There are still flights, but they are focused on repatriations. There are also charter flights being organized to bring back Algerian citizens stranded abroad and overseas. But repatriated Algerians will be subjected to a 14-day quarantine at special designated sites. There is a curfew which is total in the province of Blida, although it is beginning to ease, and there's a partial lockdown between 3 and 7 a.m., 3 p.m. and 7 a.m. in some nine states, and from 7 to 7 for the rest of the country. All public gatherings in Algeria are suspended until further notice, including religious prayers, and that would be potentially be a problem or a challenge during the holy month of Ramadan, which started today, the 24th of April. In neighboring Tunisia, there is a general lockdown in place until the 4th of May. The current curfew is between 8 in the evening to 6 a.m. Likewise, flights have been suspended in Tunisia, except in cases of emergency and other similar cases. And in Morocco, the lockdown has been extended until the 20th of May. Flights to and from Morocco have been suspended, and with some exceptions, border crossings are closed, including the ones at the Spanish enclaves of Ceuta and Melilla. But if you are a national of the Schengen area or a European Union citizen, but currently in Morocco, you can probably transit into Spain, provided that you can show that you are returning home. Domestic and intercity flights travels has been suspended, including domestic air travel. Public gatherings as well are banned. In Egypt, authorities there have extended on the 23rd of April a nighttime curfew through the month of Ramadan, while announcing that gradual easing is going to take place. The partial curfew will remain in place from 9 p.m. to 6 in the morning and will run until the end of the month of Ramadan, as I stated a minute ago. Now, because of these tough lockdown rules, countries are struggling to put forward the containment policies that are glitch-free, and so now they are looking to reverse some of these rules despite the fact that the virus continues to spread. But it is clear that measures taken so far have been more than an inconvenience and utterly disruptive. That was certainly the case this week for hundreds of Tunisian nationals who have been stuck for weeks on the Libyan side of the border, who have not been allowed to cross into their country. The Tunisian authorities came under intense pressure to allow them in, but the border point of Ras Jdir experienced chaotic scenes with people stranded there, with some reporting as many as 1,500 people struggling to join their homes in Tunisia. It is clear that the emergence of COVID-19 has exposed the weaknesses of the countries, not just in terms of its effect on public health and the public health sector, but it amplified all the other problems, whether they are issues of governance, economy, civil rights, and anything else you can think of. One of the hardest hit areas in the region is Libya, and Tripoli in particular. Ironically, and although the country may have relatively low infection rates, As 49 people have so far tested positive for coronavirus, the population in Libya is struggling with the toughening and hardening lockdown measures. A curfew and a civil war are adding to the drama, and people can only go out from 7 a.m. to noon for such things as essential shopping. And if you have a car, driving is now not permitted. Now, staying home has been a huge problem for Libyans, because Tripoli and large swaths of the Western Libyan region are experiencing severe water cuts since the 6th of April, and electricity cuts as well. Limited shopping hours are allowed in the morning, as I said, and without a car, it gets tough. But here's the thing, most Libyans today have not received government salaries and pensions for months, okay? And that's making their situation extremely precarious as we enter the month, the difficult month of Ramadan. Now, as the crisis continues, obviously, hospitals have been on their highest alert across the entire region. Most countries have mobilized their military hospitals. Whether it is in Blida, the epicenter of the COVID-19 in Algeria, or in Morocco, where the military has been preparing for a scenario of mass influx of patients. Doctors, nurses, and other medical staffs across the region are on what I call a COVID-19 time, and less focused on other health problems. We are seeing expanded bed capacity, and in many cases, there is excessive reliance of the chloroquine to cure patients, even though the drug is not officially deemed effective. There are some positive initiatives in the region, worth mentioning some of them. In Tunisia, engineers have created a web-based platform that scans lung x-rays and evaluates whether patients are likely to be suffering from the virus. The engineers want to make that tool available for free, and they say that technology provides, and I'm quoting here, 90% reliability rate for the probability of infection. Of course, the technology has not been fully tested. It's new, but still, we should congratulate the young engineers behind it and ask them to do more. In Algeria, inmates are, in many prisons, have been mobilized to make personal protective equipment. This is a good initiative to keep this relatively large inmate population occupied and busy. We've seen sewing workshops that employ these inmates in some 30 prisons, trying to produce thousands of masks and protective suits for the medical personnel. Authorities in Algeria say inmates will take part on a voluntary basis, and they insist that there are no confirmed cases of the COVID-19 among the 58,000 inmates living in the country's roughly 150 prison facilities. But there have been growing reports that the virus is already in Algerian prisons, and so it's hard to believe that that the prisons are immune. Now, in fact, if you look at Morocco, which has a very similar socioeconomic profile as Algeria, nearly 200 cases of the coronavirus infections have been already reported just in the Ouarzazate prison. And that's coming among staff and inmates. Morocco prisons currently have about 80,000 inmates. And so obviously that's something that's worrisome. In Egypt, worrisome as well. We know that doctors and nurses there have been facing some sort of backlash from the general population, let's say their neighbors, for example. And that is a situation that is completely opposite in many other countries, where the medical professionals are now treated essentially like royalties. The mistreatment of doctors and nurses in Egypt is a real problem, and that's coming from people who are fearful of catching the virus, so somewhat natural, but unjustified. Egyptian doctors, the truth is that these doctors and the nurses are living in an intense period, similar to their colleagues around the world, They work long hours. They are facing skyrocketing caseloads, and of course all of that while working in a very high risk environment. Dozens of doctors, perhaps hundreds of doctors, have been affected across the region, and several of them have already died, sadly. Now, meanwhile, governments in the region have been taking advantage of the pandemic to repress and send people to prison, often on bogus charges and often for simple Facebook posts. Let me start with Algeria, where dozens, perhaps hundreds of citizens are stuck in prisons for having taken part to the Hirak movement calling for democracy. The government has been using a pretty clever but evil and repressive tool called a pre-detential trial that allows the political police to keep people indefinitely in jail while awaiting trial. Now, the problem is that the court system is not working due to the health crisis. So many people arrested during the course of 2019 are clearly currently stuck between a rock and a hard place. But even if the courts were working, it really doesn't matter. Accused people in Algeria are not even properly represented by lawyers, as it happened to opposition leader Karim Tabou. Karim has showed up before a judge who rendered his sentence without the presence of one single lawyer. Unbelievable. Now, those held in Algeria's filthy prisons in the current circumstances include young women, young men, the sick, the elderly, and of course, everyone else. The Algerian police and the gendarmerie, which are clearly two instruments of repression and not protection, continue to arrest people over anything and everything defying common sense and showing that the regime is unwilling to bring appeasement to a very tense political situation. The regime has also enacted a new law this week that criminalizes so-called fake news. The problem is that the government will use that law to crack down more and more on the media and on anyone who has an opinion. No one in the Algerian government managed so far to define in clear terms what they mean by fake news. And so a judge in the pockets of the political police could eventually decide what such term means and will likely send their authors to prison. Now, the country is in absolute political turmoil. There have been arrests of top officers of the country's intelligence agencies. And once again, the military structure remains highly destabilized by a regime dominated by a permanent clan warfare. Speaking to analysts at Mayrisk LLC, the long-term outlook for Algeria looks rather grim. The political instability is likely to magnify with the country witnessing the source of its hard currency revenues completely evaporate. On the 21st of April, a few days ago, the Sahara blend, Algeria's crude oil, experienced a drop to less than $12 per barrel. An unbelievable fall of more than 80% from the same day roughly 12 months ago. That year ago it was priced at $74. And that's adding to the violent attack of the coronavirus, that's adding to the political turmoil taking place. It's unlikely that the Hirak movement calling for pro-democracy is going to ease when obviously the pandemic is under control. So we're going to see a very difficult 2021 ahead for Algeria, and we should brace for that. Our neighboring Morocco, it's not any better. Civil rights are being trampled by the authorities, who are now using technology to track the movement of citizens. The police in Morocco have started using a mobile application developed by the police authority known as the DGSN. Allegedly to track violators of the lockdown. What the app does, it identifies the whereabouts of users as they cross checkpoints, and they use national identity card numbers to perform cross-referencing. The king has apparently pardoned a few thousand inmates to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in the overcrowded prisons, but the police arrested more than 53,000 people for breaching the curfew. So on the one hand, we're at least 5,000 prisoners, but then on the other hand, we arrest 10 times as many. I call that brilliant. Now, let me go south for the Sahel region. The pandemic in itself as a public health problem has caused very little to no major harm. Niger is probably the hardest hit, but with just about 662 confirmed cases as of the 23rd of April, followed by Burkina Faso with 609. It's true that these countries have extremely limited testing capabilities, but we have not witnessed the types of scenes that we are seeing in places like Ecuador in South America, where bodies are found in streets and inside houses. Of course, no one really knows how this pandemic will evolve, even though there is evidence that the virus does not like heat. And where else would you have more heat than in the Sahel? But other non-health related issues have bubbled up recently that are making the region even more destabilized or unstable. Niger, for example, or in particular, is witnessing growing unrest and riots, with people getting really angry at the very brutal confinement measures that have been imposed on them. In Niger, several cities have been experiencing riots over these anti-coronavirus lockdowns, and religious and conservative groups have taken to the street to protest the banning of collective prayers, in particular on Fridays. The district of Lazaret in the capital Niamey saw some of the most intense riots, where cars and buildings were burned and torched and hundreds of people arrested. As in the case of its another neighbor, Niger is in a complete freeze with border closures, a state of emergency, a curfew, the closing of mosques, the closing of schools, and essentially people forced to stay indoors. The first protests were recorded in, I think, the late March, in the town of Miria in the center of the country, with protesters destroying cars again and burning buildings. The riot then extended to the west, reaching the Tahoua region. Then there has been a spike in unrest in the capital Niamey more recently, where many neighborhoods have been engulfed in riots. Now, setting aside the coronavirus related problems, the Sahel continues to struggle with an upsurge of militancy and political instability. In Mali, there was a final round of legislative elections on Sunday, the 19th of April. Those elections were characterized by allegations of vote buying and intimidation. In the center and the north of Mali, voting was particularly violent, with armed gangs intimidating voters. We've seen jihadi groups issuing threats to attack voters in an effort to sabotage the election. Mali also witnessed the unusual, or rather the usual, violence against civilians. At least 12 people were killed this week in a gunman attack on several villages in Mopti, a region located in the central part of the country. The attackers stole hundreds of heads of cattle. And so the problem is still there. Elsewhere in Burkina Faso, the security forces were accused also this week of executing 31 unarmed detainees of Fulani ethnicity. And that happened in the northern town of Djibo, located about 120 miles from the capital Ouagadougou. Rights groups say they were murdered, which took place on the 9th of April, and it happened shortly after they were arrested. And in Chad, the government reported the death by apparent poisoning 44 suspected Boko Haram insurgents while they were being held in a Chadian prison. No one in the Chadian government could explain how 44 of the 58 Boko Haram suspects have died. An autopsy on four of the victims showed severe asphyxiation that led to their death. So, in closing, in general, the COVID-19 crisis has largely dominated life in the region, with a more pronounced impact in the north and the south, that is in the Sahel region. The COVID-19 crisis is there, but it's less problematic in itself than in the north. Now, this week's problems have amplified the other sources of crises in the region, whether they are political, economic, and social. And as these issues persist and grow, the region faces a very difficult outlook, both for the second half of this year and certainly for 2021. Now, finally, for those of you who began the month of Ramadan, I want to wish you all and your families a spiritually rewarding month. And for everyone else, please stay safe and remain positive. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.